Blog Talk Radio.
I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for my destination. On a tour of one night stands, my suitcase and guitar in hand, and every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one-man band. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts are escaping. Home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Every day is an endless stream of cigarettes and magazines. Factories, and every stranger's face I see reminds me that I long to be homeward bound. I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts are escaping. Home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Tonight I'll sing my songs again, I'll play the game and pretend. But all my words come back to me in shades of mediocrity, like emptiness and harmony. I need someone to comfort me. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound.
Welcome, welcome to Homeless No More Radio. I just love that song. My name's Viata. I'm your hostess for tonight, along with my family of friends and loved ones who call in to join in on the conversation. And as usual, we're talking about homelessness and all its many levels of understanding or overstanding or confusion. Over the last few weeks, we have learned so much about what it means to be homeless. And by the way, that song, Homeward Bound, is, of course, by Simon and Garfunkel. And for those of you who are too young to remember that song, a little history is that it was made in 1966. I was actually 11 years old, and I remember that song like it was yesterday because we had a lot of music playing in my home, all kinds of music. And that was one of my favorites. Paul Simon and Garfunkel have always been two of my favorite musicians. And that song was off their album called Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme. So if you were a teenager back in the 60s, you'll remember Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme, a beautiful song with a nice, mellow melody. And so this song to me, when I listen to it now, it just reminds me of the many emotions that people experience when they have no roof over their head or they have to live outside or in vacant buildings or in their cars sometimes. But that song just represents the thoughts that many people may have about being in a state of homelessness. And it's something that we who are not in homelessness can think about and be reminded of how blessed we are on the one hand, because if you do have a roof over your head and you're not having to sleep out in the cold and the rain and in a cardboard box, then being homeward bound you may not be relating to, but yet on a spiritual level, we all can relate to that song, reminding us that this is not our home as our soul living in a vessel, but that this is a temporary journey where we're learning lots and lots of lessons. And so we welcome callers and suggestions and solutions for those who have a desire. There has to be a desire from someone who has no roof over their head and who is struggling with finding a place to live. There has to be a desire to change their circumstances and to come into a more collective unit of support and cooperation. So we are here to offer solutions in the way of social capital, making new friends, saving money, collecting money, learning how to build a tiny house. We had a guest on the show who specializes in tiny houses on wheels, and you can actually do that for about anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000. So that's a more reachable goal if you are setting goals for yourself to get out of your homeless state. Then a goal of $5,000 to $10,000 is not too bad if you talk to people, make contacts, and figure that you want to change your circumstances. And that's what it's all about, is being renewed in your mind. When a person ends up on the streets without a roof over their head, then it is really a wake-up call. And then there are multi-levels of overstanding homelessness. I was listening to a lecture today by Dr. Bruce Lipton. Bruce Lipton is an amazing conscious scientist, and he lectured for over 2 hours on the biology of belief and what that means on a cellular level. Dr. Lipton is a very strong advocate of genes do not control your biology. Beliefs control your biology. Beliefs connected to your genes, and in that sense, beliefs, your thoughts, are what control your reality and especially your genes. But one of the things he asked a question in this two-hour lecture, which surprised me. He said, "Why are people homeless?" And it came as a shock to me that he was talking about biology of belief and science and cells. He was, for the first hour and a half, it was all about cells and science and what these cells do and how your body works. And then all of a sudden he asked, "Why are people homeless?" And the answer was so unexpected. I never expected the answer that he brought to the audience about why are people homeless. This is a question asked by a cellular biologist. He has been in this work for over 50 years, and he's come to the conclusion that your beliefs and your thoughts are what control your biology. So part of his answer, and this is something I'd love for my listening audience to respond to, if you feel this way, if you have an overstanding of this, if this is clear to you about why are people homeless from a biology perspective, from a physical, so spiritual perspective even, because his question is about the behavior of cells, those tiny trillions of items in our body that make the trillions of cells that make up our body have a mind. They have a nucleus. They have a brain. And the brain of each cell, in fact, every cell in our body is made up with all the functions that the human body has. A cell has an excretory system. It has a respiratory system. It has every system, major system, that the body is composed of are in each trillions of cells, so they're individual entities, thinkers. And so his question, why are people homeless, was directed to the activity of the cells, and when the community of cells falls apart, we get disease and we get homelessness. Cells come together in a community. You can imagine if the trillions of cells in our body were radically behaving and were not in harmony, how could we digest our food even? So the individual cell is in there in the human body working with a community. But when that individual cell decides to rebel and be more independent, then that's when the homelessness occurs in the cellular structure. We become disconnected. When we no longer can operate within a community that supports us, then there's a greater chance of us losing our home position or losing our position in the family of cells. And there is greater chance of survival in a community. There's greater chance of life and vibrancy and health when we are in the cells and when each one of us is in a community that supports us and that it helps us in our journey to survive. But when the individual cell is not listening to the community, then that's when we have a situation of homelessness. The individual cell starts to separate from the rest of the community. In fact, Dr. Lipton was talking about the movements that cells make either forward in growth and reproduction, or they move backwards in protection mode. Protection, I have to protect myself. I have to move in a different direction. So we're talking fear versus isolation and growth, which overrides and protection. And the protection, when the protection is mode is on, the blood is flowing differently. When there's an absence of fear, then there's a presence of love. So the cells work together. We as humans work together. We support one another. We help each other survive. We help each other grow. This is the difference. When you're in survival mode, the cells are either growing and reproducing going forward, or they're in a protection mode going backwards, and then they're trying to survive. So comparing this is so interesting to me that he would compare this to homelessness, that we need to look at the activity or the movements of digital cells. And cells are very digital. They move in a certain way for survival, and they move in a certain way for protection, and they move in a certain way for growth and reproduction. And what's interesting is what's activating these cells a lot is fear or love. So last night even we were talking on the Rock Medicine Women show about love, the energy of love and the emotion of love that keeps us alkaline. And when we are in a fear mode and this mode of protection, I have to protect myself, instead of looking out for the greater community for support, we need to be in a community that is supportive. But how often do we exist in a family that doesn't support us, that doesn't encourage us, that doesn't show love toward us, that doesn't give the cells the love that we need to grow and reproduce? Because that's what we are meant to do. We are meant to reproduce this love energy. We are meant to reproduce this strong energy that helps us build families and that helps us grow in the direction that our Creator designed for us. Each one of us has a purpose on this earth to grow and reproduce. That's what our organs and our hormones are here to do. And the brain is always sending the signals for us to be more productive and more loving. But then we always have these situations that show up in our lives that cause us to back up and be more protective. We have to protect ourselves. We can't participate in the community like we really want to because of our beliefs and because of our challenges that we have, because of the conflicts. And so we're in a backup mode or a fear mode. So I want to hear from my listeners about what mode are you in? Are you in a growth or a reproductive mode? Or are you in a protective mode where you have to back away and become more isolated? Because that's what causes the disease to show up or manifest itself in the body when we turn from a loving, growing mode in our mind and saying loving, creative things to ourselves, and we turn from that and we start hating ourselves, or at least not expressing the love for this beautiful, awesome, organic computer that our soul lives in called the human body. This is an amazing vessel that we live in with all these different strands of vibrations and communication networks. The human body is one huge communication network. And the signals that we're sending most often, many people are sending from their brain, are that I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not loving enough. All these things that we learn from our parents, from our childhood, we're sending those signals to ourselves and creating homelessness. Instead of the cells being in harmony and working together, they're becoming more independent. And I imagine, too, that those who end up homeless had to come to this realization in their circumstances, in their environment, because the environment is really what is controlling the human cell, not the genes, but the environment, both internally and externally. So how many of us have to leave the environment that we're in to survive? How many of us have to make that decision to back away from the community that is not supporting us, that's not helping us overcome our childhood inadequacies, our childhood wrong programming? How many of us are in a homeless state, even under a roof with four walls, where we are not connecting to our heart's purpose, the sole purpose why we're here? We become homeless even with a roof over our head. And so that's where, what this show, we want to bring everyone to a place of consciousness about what is really your home, and under understanding about why you have to be sometimes in a homeless state to become more like the community of cells that the Creator put in your life to help you grow, to help you reproduce, and that help you survive whatever you need to survive with love and compassion and understanding of your other cells in your life that are here for a divine purpose. So we have a caller with their hand up, area code 760-362. Welcome to Homeless No More Radio. JoJo, is it?
Yeah, hi, honey.
Hi, JoJo. I got your number this time. How are you, dear? Thanks for calling.
I like your presentation on what you feel about the definition of homeless. Let's take, for instance, people buy a house. Okay. They both have jobs. They get new cars. They open up the front door. I think I talked about this before. They open up their front door, and they see their neighbor across the street, and they see the fence that has to be painted and the lawn that has to be, you know, mowed and blah, 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 blah. And then they shut the door. When the people who don't have that, they can open up their door if they're in a car, or they can open up the door to things they visualize or experience, and they could be sitting in front of Mount Rushmore. Now, these people, all of a sudden one loses job, the other one becomes ill. Mm-hmm. Bills aren't. And in fact, the bills that they have, the bank owns their house. The credit companies own their wallet. So now we're in a situation that eventually they will climb up to the reality of either losing their home, getting into a smaller home. I still don't think you have to be out in a car or in the street, you know, whatever it may be, because a lot of people, majority of people that live in all these mansions and these gorgeous houses and they've got their Ferraris, they're all on paper. Everything these, it's on paper. Mortgage, loan paper, car loans, the bank that loans, whatever it may be. So in the long run, when you have these situations, you're either going to break it, you're going to make it, or you're going to be owned. To me, that's homeless because they don't have any home. They have no car. The bank owns the house, and let's say, for instance, they pay $3,000 a month for their house in mortgage payment and bank,
not unusual.
And now they're losing everything. The jobs, the income. In the long run, they cannot make that $3,000 payment. They're about 10 steps from foreclosure. That's home. But now they go to the bank, and they say to the bank, listen, I'm 3 months in the rear for my mortgage payment, and you want to take my house away from me. You want to make us homeless? We were never with a home because you owned our house. So now what we're going to do is we're going to start paying you the $3,000 a month. We are going to find another place that's cheaper. And now because of our situation as far as the lack of finances, we'll find a smaller place where we can meet our payments to another bank, blah, 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 another way, you know, another force of way of making the finances meet their living conditions. But still, when they get that smaller piece of wall and a roof, they still can't own it. So now what
That's
happens?
Right.
The bank says, listen. Then no, we say, you listen. You're going to go and know we're going to rip out that $3,000 from your greedy pockets, and we're going to take it to better use. And when you decide that you want to take our house away, and we're going to take your payments away 3 to 4 to 5 months from what we understand. You're engaging in, by the time paperwork and the lawyers and blah, 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 we can be able to take that $9,000, $12,000 and go and educate ourselves by getting a place that we can be comfortable in. See? But meanwhile, everything that they're doing in the process, because of the strength that America people have, they can't break us. People in the long run, now we're talking psychological. Here it comes.
Right.
People lose everything. They worked hard to go and get their house. Everything that they've done, they broke their back. No matter how rich they are, they all have broken their back. I have gone out with millionaires and had lunch, and they tell me to pick up the check because they only have hundreds. They get up and they walk out, and you get an $85 check that you say, but, so you have to go and count your pennies say, well, and, you know, write a check and run to the bank in 2 days. Now, this is another deal. On the charge card situation, the collection agency comes in because you owe $600 for a card, okay, for a store, let's say, Capital One or whatever, okay.
Right.
Well, right. Well, now we're going to go back into could be possibly be homeless with the wallet. They say, you owe us $600. And we say, we can't pay it, but you have to pay it. Well, you negotiate, you know, either tell them to break your legs or go and negotiate or else go jump in the lake for the payment. But now nobody knows, and a lot of people do not know this. But within 1 month, that's 30 days, that bill is owed, they end up getting a collection through their insurance companies for bad debt. So within a month, they have that full amount in their pocket. What they do is they milk the cow that gets no more milk so that they can work their commission. So we're back again to homeless.
Right.
We're homeless in our pockets. I mean, that's my feeling about it, that these people out here that I watch over here in Georgia, they come home at night, there are hundreds and hundreds of cars. I stand outside and I say, go America, because no matter what they do to you, whether it's homeless, owing bills, or not owning a house, you're still strong. Even the people
that's
who
right.
don't have all that, even the people who don't have that. I say to the people who are broken, they had everything taken away from them. The ones who worked the hardest and broke their back, they're the ones that are going to keep the economy going, even the ones that are out doing their thing without the house. And that is, I mean, you're talking about displacement. You're talking about, I mean, let's say, for instance, the snowbirds. They come in from different countries. And they walk in. I had a woman say once to me, I was, you know, with my mouth, you know, I don't, the kitsch. we're at a grocery store, and she's online, and somebody, oh, are you a snowbird? Oh, yes, she said, yes. And they said, well, you know, how do you like blah, 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 this kind? She says, oh, well, we keep the economy going here in America.
Oh,
I said, excuse me. Oh, yes, she said, we do. I said, excuse me, I don't want to go and, you know, blow your balloon or put your underwear in the knot. Let me tell you something right now. The people here in this country, we keep up the economical range, not you. You bring your money in here from another country, Canada and wherever, and you dump it in here. You buy everything with cash because your bank's up in Canada. When you want to go and purchase a house, you bring your money into this country, and up in Canada, if you want to buy a house, they don't go by the mortgage. They give you cash to buy your property. So what you do is take the cash, come down here to this country, and you buy out hospitals, homes, store. I mean, if they go into a hospital and their ER bill comes out to $20,000, they've got cash. Everything cash. Mm. They're buying out more of California. I don't know the other states, but in California, they just got finished buying out the Eisenhower MC, where I go to. They bought it out. So now everybody works for Eisenhower. All the doctors are coming in and they said, listen, so the bigger they are, the less. And they don't care if they put us in home. They take our homes away from out here. So the nurses in these doctors' offices, the snowbirds, so-called, the ones that are taking everything over, they're giving them a quarter an hour raise. They're giving them no bonuses. And these nurses in the hospital on the cancer floors, 20 years, 25 years, you know what they give them? They don't give them a bonus. They give them, you know, those little hut catalogs that you can pick out, a chair that when you sit it, you can fall on it. This is what they're doing. And they could care less. So my opinion to what you were talking about is, they're running of their buys and the running of their, you know, whatever it may be. The bottom line, when you see people that have beautiful cars, beautiful, they don't own them. So they're homeless.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's all.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, even in countries like Argentina, I was watching a video again about the bank crash in Argentina few years ago, and everyone went crazy because they couldn't get their money out of the banks. They took their money out of their savings. And as I watched this for the second time, I realized a lot of people were upset because they couldn't pay their debts. One guy had something like a $50,000 loan on his tractor that he used to farm his land. So when the banks closed, he could not pay his debt on his tractor. That was more of a concern for him than actually the money that he could not get out. So you're so right to point out the slave mentality that people have over debt, over credit, having credit that or not owning things because the bank has the mortgage or has the paper on everything that they possess. And they're it's such a slave mentality and situation. And yet homelessness almost is a gift, is a blessing to come out of the living conditions that are so unreal. It's like we're in this fantasy land with all this debt and this, like you say, this big house and this big car, and we think we're really living the life, and then the banks close and take all your money, and you go absolutely insane because your fantasy land is destroyed. So a big issue with homelessness is debt.
That's right.
I'm realizing
that. In the Wall Street Journal, I once read on the front page that corporations were becoming landlords. They bought up about 1 million foreclosed houses. Now, this one guy, 23 years, worked. He had his family. He worked for the house and he made the payment. Well, they come along and they pull him in the bank and they say, Mr. Brown or Mr. whatever, we will make you a deal. We'll take your house over, but you can rent it from us. Now, this guy for 23 years has worked, broken his back in payments, mortgages for this. You think he's going to give that up and walk out? He said, I'll rent. Mm. But the good thing about it is he doesn't have to pay the mortgage anymore. This is where he screws the bank. You can screw the bank if you stop your mortgage payments because you have between 3 and 5 months to make up for those loans. And you know you're not going to do it. So you take your $12,000, as I said earlier, and you go out and buy something that's, you know, comparable to what you yourself can afford. Then you come home with your paycheck, and you have another $1,000 a month to play with. And screw them because they don't get that $3,000 a month. And that's what they do. This is what the public is doing. And if they have, I mean, one time when I was living in my van years ago, because I loved going and doing my traveling, there was a man that was sitting with a brand new Ford SUV, two kids, his wife, black big bags of the belongings in the back. That's all they had. This guy was a dealership. He owned a dealership. And they came in and took everything away, all the cars, everything away. This guy was living in his SUV, brand new, let's say 2009 or 10 or whatever it was, brand new, and there he was with nothing. He said this, my wife and I and my children will survive. Because we never did when I owned that dealership. I had to sell those cars to be able to make the money. Now he said, we're taking a vacation. Because I took some of that money, he said, and I banked it in a bag. And I put it in the shoebox up on top of his closet.
Wow.
And he took it out. Well, about maybe 9 months later, I was in the film industry, and we were down in San Diego doing a quick shoot. Well, this guy pulls up. He goes, hello, Josette, hello. I said, hi, how are you, Gigo? He says, oh, I'm doing fine. He said, listen to me. He said, the best thing in the world is we had to have that break. He said, now, here's my wife. Here's my wife. And she's coming around now. 35-footer RV, paid for, no hassle. He says, we're going on a road trip. Now, this guy is not homeless. This guy takes the next step to survive. Mm. He made it work.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the levels. It's not homeless.
Yes.
You know, it is survival. But now you're talking about the guys that are down in the streets, eating out of the dumpsters, ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. These guys don't want it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want it anymore, and they've had enough. It has broken them. They're on the drugs. They're up, up. And listen, there's a lot of guys that are rich are on those drugs. When they lose everything, guess what? They can't kick the drugs. So they go down into the streets. They get it behind buildings. They get dirty needles, and they die. You have
mm-hmm.
children. Did you know that 2 million children are homeless in this
mm-hmm.
nation?
Yeah, I know that it was. I would know the number was high. I didn't realize that it was that high, though.
2 million children in this nation. So when you're talking about people getting together and doing, oh, you know, everybody gets together, it's baloney. They don't. The snowbirds, you never see them drop a penny to maybe children in the cancer center. I mean, who does it? The ones that have so little, and they say, okay, God, if I give you a tithing of $100, you know automatically he's going to give it back in his own way because it runs in the cycle, you know. So it does. It runs in the cycle. And you want to know something? This is the truth. There are 500,000 bikers that I went down and I sat with in Daytona and Ormond Beach when they had the bike week.
Mm-hmm.
These guys have more hands in the pocket than you could ever imagine. So Harley Davis is all the different branches, and then you have the different motorcycle, like JB motorcycle clubs and whatever. You put them together with farms that are broken down. People are going to lose it. They don't know where to go. Like you said, they go and they take their, you know, what did you say earlier, that one guy, I think it was a bulldozer or whatever, okay, tractor. They're losing
mm-hmm.
everything.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to take that and double and back that up by saying, well, we have 1 million to 1 million bikers. These guys, doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, guys that just go out there on the drugs, whatever it may be, we have a high count of these guys. They're like a tribe. And to get those together with the farmers and start going in and asking them to grow organic.
Mm-hmm.
See the two things pick up. So then we say, all right, we have all that. I always want to know when people make good with what their life is or whatever their choices are, where does it end? Where is the power? You think everybody knows what we know, that you know, with the high, the upper high energy of peace, and even Debbie, what's her name again? That yesterday she was saying how we're taking and putting into a peaceful mode.
Mm-hmm.
So now, the American Cancer Society, now watch this. I called up in Oakland and I said, I have to ask you something. And they said, what? When was the American Cancer Society established? 1913. Whoa. Where is the cure? Oh, well, you know, until we have a lot of different cancers. I said, no. I want to know where the big kahuna is, because you guys brought in a whole new tribe in 1945. You were supposed to find this by 1952. Where is the cure? Okay. Let me give you an idea. I said, you are a referral service to the people who are in the streets that have cancer or people who are up there. Okay. So what do? You send everybody to the pantries. You let them eat all of that bad food for cancer survivors. Wheat, flour, carbs, cake, sweet, sugar. What are you trying to do here? Well, he says, well, what do you suggest, Ms. Patel? I said, build pantries, cancer survivors. Let them have organic. Let them have fresh, okay, non-chemical. So they can be able to maybe possibly walk away with no cancer. You know what he said? Well, Miss Fatale, you should really write in a letter of suggestion. I said, goodbye. I hung up. But now.
Yeah, we know they would go out of business if they did that because all about profit.
That's right.
Yeah. They'll never find the cure because they lose money.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Billions and millions and billions and billions and millions. Please, let me tell you, the side effects that you have when you have chemo are so bad that people are going on, dispensed marijuana. Well, they finally get rid of it, and they say, oh, my God, you know what? You've gotten rid of your cancer. They're finding today that marijuana heals the cancer, not chemo.
Yeah, the cannabis oil.
Right. There you go. There you go. Right there.
Yeah.
So in the long run, now what happens, I'm saying bikers, farmers that got to have to rebuild, bikers have the money, farmers can make the organic, and then guess what? The end result is to the power of these two entities. You ready? Let's put up our own pantries for the cancer survivor children, the families, and let's roll with that. One at a time. Always start with one. But we have to go and say, well, what state do we have to go where they have the most farmland, the most breaking of these farmers that are losing, and let's bring them up again. So you have two to work with on that. See, and then what do
that's
you have?
That's a great idea.
That's what I was telling you. That was I put it together last night, and now I have my angel cards and I'm at my business cards. And listen to what I put. Oh, God has given me so much. On the card, I'm so angel this. Angel. If you go to YouTube, you're going to see nothing but angels, angels, angels here, angel consultant, angel this, angel that. I said, I'm not putting angels. I'm not going to put the word angel on my card. Watch what I'm going to put. Feathers and words. And the card is going to flip over. And you know what it's going to say? Organic.
What?
Organic.
Feathers and words. I like that.
And the words are on. Right. And then you flip it over, and then you have the big word, organic. Plant your seeds. Mm. And on top of the organic word, you have the angel sitting just laying across the word, leaning on one elbow and smiling.
Oh, my goodness, that's cute.
So here we have organic as part of the seeding that we're going to be doing. And this way now we have to make up brochures, and then we have to make up business, and this one guy will do all that, and then we take it up to I forget the man's name down in Daytona. He has a tremendous Harley Davidson, big thing, and he died and left his family, two daughters and a son, the whole thing. Well, I got the numbers. I have the number to them. I have the numbers to Starbucks. I have the numbers to Ronald McDonald. I have the number to blah, 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 and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's where we're going to teach him about organic.
Oh, great idea. Great idea.
Yeah, the angels will go in and they'll do it. And then guess what happens? The people who are working this are now working the spin and the circle of community that you are talking about. Because whatever it may be that I can't remember, but the cells in the body, if we take it to a step up to cancer survivors, which are 4.5 cancer survivors in this nation, 2.5 are children, 2.5 million are children, 4.5 million. So now, the cancer survivors are their own church. So now if you have 6 million, somebody in that group have relatives, spouses, friends that have the money to come in and cover us, you see, cover us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look, and this is to me, if you have the power to build go out and utilize the power. Don't just sit there and say, well, you know, I gave $50,000, I gave $10 to the people of the street. That's baloney. That's not finishing the power. That's not giving an end to the power of what we have to be doing with this country.
That's right.
And I'll tell you,
right.
I mean, take a look at those bikers. They are the most supportive, warmest people that you will ever meet, and they come in a tribe. I had 500,000 of them down in Bike Week in Daytona. 500,000. You have to see this. They took over three towns they took over.
And that's where, you were obviously listening to that community, and that's where cancer cells do not survive. When the cells are working together, listening to the community, sharing back and forth, our cells in our body are always going back and forth, communicating, then the cancer cells have to go. So that's what is going on in our community. We have Mama AZ on the line. I believe that's Mama AZ. Are you there?
Hi, sweetie. Yes. Hey, Angel Jojo. Hey, Sister Beata. Can you
How are you this evening?
Very grateful to be on this side of the dirt and
Hallelujah.
Sitting here blinking with the sun setting. This is something to this blinking. So I'm just listening. I tuned in late. My great-grandson came. He's a massage therapist, and the Creator sent him here to work my feet and bring my great-granddaughter. So
great.
That was a major breakthrough. Major.
Oh, thank God.
Major. I'm here at Vanilla Bright World and just...
And that's what you're demonstrating. You're demonstrating what we brought to the introduction of this show, how Dr. Bruce Lipton talked about cells. Why are people homeless? Because the cells are not functioning as a community, supporting one another and giving to one another and helping one another. And so you're demonstrating so beautifully how a great-grandchildren, hallelujah, just gives me the thrill to hear that the great-grandchildren come in and help grandmother to survive, that they work together, they support you, they see your need, they respond. That's how the cells in our body thrive and grow, is when they come to each other's rescue.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, Sister Viata is so much that I want to share. I've been having some healing work done, and there's another sister who just came, Miss Roxanne, and I'll be there. I'm on the radio. We're going to start a healing community of women, and this has been something that I've been wanting to do forever and a day, and it's within the Baha'i community. Here, helping one another, just gathering with those like-minded individuals who see what we see, you know, how the importance of working together to each one teach one, each one assist one.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. And I love you sisters. Come on. All right. Me too. I'll be there. Come on. Yes. Come on. Having a meeting. This is great. This is great. I'm at Vanilla Bright's World, and Miss Roxanne came, and this is great.
Hi, Roxanne.
this is super, super duper great. Go ahead. I'm listening.
It's really
why
it's really
people
a
homeless.
Yes. yes, is because they have to, well, as JoJo shared in her wisdom as well, that there has to be a displacement of the cells when the community doesn't support that cell. So in mm-hmm. cancer, as Dr. Bruce Lipton was pointing out, a cancer cell will back up and leave that community when it's under stress. Stress Absolutely. Is the major contributing factor for cancer cells to back away from the community, because in a particular organ, say the breast, when the nurturing, caring energy of that person is disrupted, and they can't, they are perceiving or believing that their environment is threatened, then they will back away and try and help that person survive for protection. They'll back away Absolutely. And protect themselves on an individual, isolated place. And so the cell begins to grow tumors and get diseased because they see the mind. Because remember, the brain is sending signals to every cell in the body. That's the connection. And so we don't have the genes are not what's controlling everything, but a person's beliefs and perspective about their environment is what causes the cells to either back away and get in a protection mode, survival mode with fear, and isolate themselves, or the brain is communicating, I love you, you're wonderful. Then they go forward, they keep moving and growing and becoming productive in the body. So Absolutely. It's amazing that you would help us bring to an understanding your own situation, your own circumstance right now, where you have a community of people coming to your support, to your aid, to your, they're here, you're listening, to your cells are listening, your community is listening to your voice that you need help, and they're responding. So your cells can't do anything but grow and be healed.
That's right.
Now.
That's right.
So we That's praise right. the Most High for that. That's just amazing how you are demonstrating that right now, and how beautiful the community in that area is. I wouldn't want to leave that community, because they are doing what the Creator had put them on this earth to do, just as our cells and our body are designed to support and encourage and build and reproduce and all the functions that our human body does. That you're in a community that is finally living its soul purpose.
Absolutely.
So we Absolutely. Celebrate with you. We celebrate with you. Go
Absolutely,
ahead.
Absolutely, sweetie. I have a question. You said the community, Angel JoJo, the community in Georgia that you are with now?
I don't really know yet, Robert.
Oh,
you know what it is? I'm just drifting. Do you know what I'm saying? Wherever God wants, wherever the Creator wants me to go, that's where I'm going to go. But along the way, I'm going to do something about planting the seed.
Yes.
So
yes.
if it's got to be here in Georgia, it doesn't mean it's not going to be in Phoenix with you. I could stay here for 3 weeks and then come to, you know me, wherever the wind blows, wherever God has a place for me to go, and that's going to go. And I always see you all the time and want to get together. I mean, you know that I'm going to come up and knock on your door one day. You know that. We talked about that. But it doesn't mean, like, you're going to do your stuff now with the wonderful gathering that you have with your community. And you know what I love about it? It's everything to help you heal.
Yeah.
It's going to help you heal.
Thank
your heart.
And we have Brother Kwame, I believe, is on the line. I just opened up his mic.
Hi.
Are you there, Brother Kwame?
Oh, hey, Brother Kwame.
Yes.
Hi.
Greetings. How's everyone?
We always need that male energy in there at some point in the show. So go ahead, speak, brother.
Yeah, well, I was busy doing some things, and I was checking on my mom because she just got out of the hospital, so I was glad to hear
that. How is she doing? How's she doing?
Yeah, she's recovering, so it's just a part of, you know, that's why I was so glad, because I was sharing that with the friend of mine that is staying here with me, and we were talking about it, and I said, well, you need to look at Bruce Lipton. And because he didn't, you know, tell me, well, you can't do that to your DNA. Yes, you can, because your body is made to work with the energy of thought and the environment. That's what we really created to balance with. When you were talking about Angela Jolie, I said, you know, and her advertising this, no, that gene process that she's trying to advertise with, that's not true. You're getting ready to make people take things out of their body that they can change with their own thoughts and diet.
So with
being able to see what is been presented, what Bruce Lipton has done, because he's a genetic biologist. He deals with just the genes and the DNA and the cells. And we're dealing with the cellular level, because our involution is in the cell. That's where we're going to grow from. Just as we grew into these beings from those cells, this is where this new metamorphosis is taking place at. Because, I don't know, you know, I was sitting here and looking, you know, online, and they've got a new bill in the House that they've just passed. That's, remember, I was talking about the Codex bill and how they do stuff, and we were talking about the H.R. 4872 on page 1014 under the National Medical Device Registry. It tells that this Class 2 device of implants has passed, and the bill says is that if you get medical assistance, you have to have this implant so we know who you are.
Oh, God.
Wow. That's amazing.
Good Lord.
That's all the more reason to stay away from hospitals and medical doctors.
You better believe it.
All of this is by design, and what they're doing is attempting to have the fear-based control of the society, but the society is not going for this. And these are why we're having these type of programs to tell how we counter this and how we're able to know how to think and alter and talk about wellness, eating healthy, living in productive communities, like you're saying, JoJo has found, and these people that she's being, JoJo apples, organic apple seed going across. I could see her van now with JoJo organic apples, organic seed. Like,
yeah, that's right.
You know,
Bobby, can I just ask you a question? And what do you think? Do you feel that the competition between the medical and us taking over our body and our different determinants, do you think that this is why they're passing all this stuff, because they're really freaking out, because they know eventually what you talk about, all that you talk about, and all the wonderful guests you have on your show, we're pulling the plug. Do you feel that this is why they're coming ahead, they're coming up with such forcefully? What do you think? Can I ask you that?
It's because they know that they cannot compete with the cosmic energy. This is about a universal change. The universe has brought this planet around to its very beginning of a 25,000-year journey, and now it's going to prepare us for the next part of our evolution. We're being given everything to rebirth the human and to the Homo spiritus from the Homo sapiens. We're not able to control the masses in the way that they're doing. This is why they're coming up with all of this technology, you know. But we're looking at spirituality. We're looking at etherology, and that's greater than technology.
That's right. You're right. You're right.
That's right.
You know,
I want to remind you of something Dr. Lipton said before I forget. He talked about EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, but the wonderful positive things that he said about it will not affect you if your stress level is under control. If you're not stressed to the stress on consistently, daily, these EMFs cannot affect your cells. But when your stress level is high and stays high, that's when these EMFs are going to penetrate the cell membrane. So that's something to think about. Stay debt-free and get out there with JoJo and visit Brother Kwame. And keep that stress and get your grandchildren on board to give you foot massages to keep that stress level down. And all these EMFs won't bother you. So go ahead. I'm sorry, I had to say that before I forgot.
The thing about that's what fear. The thing that this was formed with and the two forces that work on this planet is fear and love. And love.
That's right.
Is the basis of what this planet was, what everything the Creator created for was because of love. And so what we have allowed, you know, the aberrant child to come and think that, you know, he can create fear in order to take over, but there's a more abundance in the universal love than it is in the planetary fear.
Absolutely.
So true. You know, Kwame, I wanted to go and let everybody know what's happening. When I was in the doctor's office back about a year and a half ago, this other patient was sitting next to me, and she had this card, and it had a little heart on it with a little tear coming down, and she talked to me, and she said, "We're advocates. Would you believe this now? All the foster children and the throwaway children that nobody comes back and gets, the United States of America sells these kids to other countries, and the younger they are, they put them in a lab for research. So what you're talking about is, I'm telling you, and I will get the card out and give you guys all the information that you need on this card. You can call her. She said, we are so big with the advocate move on this, but we can't do it because it stops with the government, the senators. I think she has one or two senators that are fighting this. So what you're talking about is exactly what's going on, the fear that these kids may grow up and they may go out and make something of themselves because of the harsh, the stressful, and they have to learn what stress is. Like you said, the stress is, this is what kills the people, the stress and the fear of this planet. So if it's a turning over, I mean, let's face it, guys. They're after our children. Mm-hmm, you know it, and so do I.
Mm-hmm,
Kwame, you know it.
Yeah,
they're after
our
children.
And
you're
that's
going
why
with
my
telephone.
We got to start making slogans that we're going to start making bumper stickers because in dealing with the cell, you're saying that the cosmic energy of living love is what we have going in our bodies. The trillions of cells is the cosmic energy of living love.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Living love. I love that. Yeah,
living
that's a,
love. I
that's
like
a
that.
Great bumper sticker.
That's a great one. Living love. Ooh,
yeah.
I like that. Oh. I'm going to start
all
saying
right.
that. It's
right.
like
Hallelujah.
AZ, like Robert keeps saying, Aho, Robert keeps saying, Aho, ho ha, and what do I say? Ee hee ha ha, ho ho ho, hee hee ha.
Yeah, keep laughing. That's a good. That's what we need. More laughter.
Need
well,
more
this
laughter.
Is a. This has been a very uplifting experience for me. I hope everyone listening has been uplifted and enlightened and regenerated. So we've come to the end of our hour, and thank you all. Thank us. For contributing to the conversation. And let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get those bumper
and
stickers.
Thank and you. And thank you for being the hub. We're just the spokes.
I love you all. And until next time, shalom.
Shalom. Aho. Oh,